Welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord. Good to have you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Everybody have a good week this week? Me too, I had a good week. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have a good week every week, regardless of what it holds. It's going to be a good week. Praise the Lord. Oh, goodness. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Wow. Well, in 2 weeks, Jeff's going to take a trip. I'm glad he's going and not me. Amen. I don't want to do something like that, but I will have to say that if any of y'all want to help him financially, if you're going to give a donation and mark on it for Jeff, we'll send him off with a little extra money. I hate to see him go off broke, don't you? So we don't want him to go off broke. We want him to have a little money. But anyway, if anybody does want to help him, well, you know, just if you want to give him $10,000, just, you know, put it in an envelope and we'll get it to him. A little starter fund. A little starter fund. That's a good. I can't even imagine going to a country I've never been to that I can't speak the language and I've never been there before. But anyway, he's going to give it a shot. And you know, when God's behind something, he sends you off to do something. You know, I guess it's not any different than, well, not a whole lot of difference. I was sent to Cairo, Egypt, to build a building. I had never been to Cairo. I couldn't speak the language. I didn't know nothing about anybody or anything. And they dropped me in the middle of a Muslim country to build a building. Wow. All the thing I had that they didn't have, I had Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, and in fact, that lady, I'll never forget that woman's name. She had the hardest name I ever remember, Miss C.M. Rioff. Wow. She wanted to know how I knew so much about so many different things. I told her, I said, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus, and the King of the universe lives in me. So I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And she was blown away at the things that God allowed me to do over there in that 3 months. I was there 3 months, built a building for them in that 3 months, and got to see God do awesome, awesome things. Wow. Is he an awesome God? Learning how to trust him is something. But today, we're going to talk about Scripture in Romans 5 and 6 and 10. We're going to start off, we'll talk a little bit about how important life is. You know, we fail to remember that life is very important. And I'm going to tell you that the price you're going to pay for today is one day of your life. Every one of you are going to pay one day of your life for this day. Now, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to waste it? Are you going to use it for the glory of God? Or are you just going to goof it off? Well, unfortunately, most of us just goof off our days. You know, we don't do anything for the glory of God. Most of us do not. But in Romans chapter 5, I want to start with verse 1. In the King James Bible, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if there's ever a verse that ought to comfort you, that verse ought to comfort you. Let's just say that you've been the rottenest person on earth. And we've all done that, haven't we? Yeah, I started to say, all of us but me, huh? Y'all know what I mean by that, right? There's three of them things pointing back at me. You know how wicked we all are. You know how wicked we have been. You know what we've done. You just stop and think of the wicked things that you've done. I think about the things in the family. When to talk about how rotten we are, you know, when God says, the best we can do, our works, the best we can do is as filthy rags in His presence. So does that mean we can do anything very good? No, you can't do anything very good. You know, you can't do anything without God, but just think, being justified by faith. In other words, I'm believing with all my heart that with all the wicked things I've done, and I've done some wicked things, and what really gets me, I will have to say, I was married the first time for 41 and a half years to a woman that me and her never had a disagreement until we had been married over 25 years. Never. I mean, I got along with my wife. I didn't have any major problems. Why did I live like that? Because I was raised up in a home like that. My mother and my father loved me and they loved each other. I never heard my mother raise her voice to me in my entire life. My dad never raised his voice to me. Now, I did raise mine to my kids a few times. I didn't make it. I wasn't as good as they were. But I just think about, even in the best we could, I remember the one time that I got upset with my wife and she got upset with me. And I said something and she said something back to me, and that was my first encounter after all those years living with this woman. That was the first and only time we ever really had a serious disagreement. And for some reason, she even come over like she was going to hit me. I don't remember what I did that was that bad, but it must have not made her happy. But I grabbed her and just squeezed her and held her because she was so angry at me. Now, I don't know what I did, but something I did lit her fire, I'll have to say. And I'm sure all of you have been through something like that in your life. But I just held her for a minute and squeezed her until she cooled off. And then I turned her loose. And then I told her, I said, I don't know what I said or what I did. But I said, I'm terribly sorry to have lived with you all these years and to have our first explosion. I just thought, what in the world did I do that lit her fuse like that? I still don't know. I have no idea. The only thing she said whenever we settled down and started talking rationally again, she said something that some of you probably will agree with if you've known me very many years. She said, you're always right about everything. Well, I am. I've made one mistake in my life. I thought I was wrong one time. Now, how many? No, I won't ask any questions. I started to say, how many of you women are married to a man that never is never wrong? But you know, the thing about it is, that's the way I see myself. I see myself as an engineer, as a mechanic or whatever, that up in all the years I worked on cars, I hardly ever made a mistake. When I diagnosed something, it was always right. I knew what I was doing in the world I was living in. And so being in the engineering world, and of course the thing about this is, I'm not pulling my string at all. I learned how to pray early. And I learned how to thank God for showing me wisdom and knowledge and how to do things. And so by learning how to pray early, I was able to do awesome things. I mean, I had been called out to go places where the company I worked for, that people had worked on equipment and couldn't make it work, and they'd call me and I'd go over there and I'd pray diligently on the way wherever we're going. And by the time I got there, I knew what was wrong with the piece of equipment, and it made me look like a saint. All the VPs that I worked for, they loved me because I could fix anything. I thought I was. You know, I didn't make very many mistakes. I didn't really make mistakes. God showed me how to do things because I learned how to pray. But in all of that, and in all of that, the best I can do before the king is still not good enough. When we go to the physical, can I please him? No, I can't do it good enough to please him. Why? Because he's perfect. And you and me can't be perfect. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with trying. There's nothing wrong with trying to be perfect. But you can't be perfect. You can try. Now, then, should you try to be perfect? Yes, that's what the scripture says. But he says here in the Word, in the best or the worst that I can do, it makes no difference. I am justified by faith. I have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when I stand before the Father one day, and are we all going to stand before him one day?
Yes.
Every one of us. There's not one single one of us. You know, in the beginning when he created the heavens and the earth, he made the earth and gave it to man, and he planned for us to live forever. And he told us about that tree. Don't mess with it. You know, don't eat of it. If you do, you shall surely die. And he warned us, didn't he? And we thought we knew more than God, and so we messed with the tree. And what started happening to us? We started dying. So now then, has that ever changed? No, we've gone along here for thousands of years now, and the plan just recycles. Just every person, that thing recycles. You know, you're born, and you're a little tiny baby that totally depended on somebody else. You got to have help. And you're born, and then you begin to be raised up, and you get to be a teenager, and then you get to be 20 years old, and then you think, you got the world by the tail. You know, you can do anything. And you go out there, and the one thing it seems like we all forget to do is we forget to read the owner's manual. So we do it according to the flesh. So we have these, if you're not careful, it doesn't take long to get away from the kind of mother and father that I had. You get out in the world, and it doesn't take long till you realize people have knocked down dragouts even in the home between a husband and wife. Do they not? Some of them are beat up on, and I just think, wow. But of all this, if you begin to read the book, you begin to understand that people that do these kind of things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, and you shall be cast into the lake of fire to burn forever. Do you know most people never even hear that? They go through life and don't even hear it. They don't even know it's there. So they live like the devil. I mean, most people. You know, I mean, I would hate to say, you know, I look at some of you men and women here and say, you know, this time I got all my fingers pointed straight ahead, so. I would have none back in me because I know I'm just as guilty as you are. But I can remember what Cheryl, after God brought Cheryl to me, one of the things that really bothered her at first, she said, I can't believe God's put me with you. She said, I am the biggest sinner in the church. And after she said that a few times, I told her, I said, honey, I don't want to ever hear you say that again. Because I said, you're not the biggest sinner in the church because I know everybody in the church and they've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know that about yourself, don't you? You absolutely, if anything we can't do is look at ourselves and say, well, I'm perfect and you're never going to make it. Because we are all justified by faith, and we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, how many of us could go to heaven? Not one single one of you. And of course, the enemy is so good at what he does. Whenever you finally figure out that you've made all these mistakes in life, and let me ask you, and let's just all join in on this. How many of us have ever committed a problem? How many of us have been wrong? Hey, okay, that's pretty well all of us, isn't it? You mean to tell me you've even sinned?
Yes.
Have you sinned? Mike, you mean you've sinned too?
Yes, sir.
See, that's the way it is, and we're all those sinners. And all of a sudden, we begin to come down with something or whatever. And usually, if people go through their life and you don't have any sickness and disease, even Christians, that's what's so bad. Us as Christians, we'll go the wrong way. We'll not go to church. We'll not tithe. You know, we'll not walk in love. We will not walk in obedience to God's word, because we really don't realize that there's a consequence for our disobedience. So if we didn't have Jesus Christ, if he had not come to this earth and paid the price, like we said a while ago, not one single one of us could go to heaven. There's not any one of us could be righteous enough or holy enough or could be justified and get to heaven on our own works. Because if he said the best works you can do is this, as the filthy rags in my presence, therefore we're justified by faith. What does that mean, to be justified by faith? I am made just as if I had never sinned by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I believe he paid the price for me. And I believe he paid the price for you. And you have to believe that. Now, what if you don't believe that? What if you don't believe that Jesus died for you? Then you can't go to heaven either. There's only one way, isn't there? You know, there's not a lot of ways, or not two ways, or 1,000 ways. There's one way. You can be justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to this earth. He died on that cross. He paid the price for you and me. And he did that for every human being on the earth. But all they got to do is believe. And when you believe, then when the day does come, and all of us are going to come to this day. Everyone, I don't care who you are. I don't care how good you've been or how bad you've been. The day is coming when you're going to have the end of your life on this earth. Every one of us. Nobody gets out. You know, nobody. Yeah, some people live to be 70, some 80, 90, some 20. You know, I think my daughter, she only lived to be 24. Killed in a car wreck at 24 years of age. My sister, she was just 22 years old when she died in a car wreck. In fact, you know, when you think about how God prepares people for things, my sister, which was the finest little girl, Christian girl, she was way far ahead of me. I mean, she was a good girl, you know. I had my major sin when I was a young man was driving fast. Oh, I love to race cars and drive fast, you know. But when I did that, I did it on the highways and everything else. I broke every law in the book. And, so in God's eyes, I'm a wicked sinner. You know, I'm breaking the laws of the land. I'm driving too fast. But one day, my sister, which was 2 years younger than me, she came in and says, Mother, she was married now, already married, and she'd had three boys, and she started young, 16 years old. She got married just barely 16 and had one boy right after another, had three of those little guys. And then one day she come in and told Mother, said, Mother, the Lord has showed me I don't have long to live. I'm going to die shortly. My mother said, Oh, honey, you're young and I'm old. You will bury me. And she said, No, I won't. She said, The Lord showed me that I'm fixing to die. And when you bury me, Mother, I want you to bury me in my wedding dress with my rings on. Mother says, Oh, honey, you're not gonna die. But you know, I don't know where she, I don't know how she picked that up. I don't know how the Lord dealt that to her. But somehow he showed her she was going to die. And she was only 22 years old. Well, then when I went off to the military, I had a dream one night in the wee hours of the morning, and I was looking into a casket, and there was somebody in that casket that I couldn't tell who it was, but I knew it was a family member. Well, the next morning I called home after we got out of first class we were in the military. I asked Mother, I said, "Mom, is everybody okay at home?" She said, "Yes, what's wrong with you?" I said, "Well, nothing." But I said, "Is Dad okay?" He was the oldest, so I thought if somebody died, it'd be Dad. But you can't ever tell. So anyway, she said, "Yeah, Dad's fine. He went to work this morning. Everything's fine." Well, the next morning, after I had that dream that night, my sister and her girlfriend were both killed in a head-on car wreck. She's 22 years old. My mother was in agony over this. Now, my sister had accepted Jesus when she was a young girl, about 10. She was a good Christian girl. I had accepted Jesus when I was 11, but I wasn't too good a Christian boy. You know, some of y'all know what I mean. You know, you've accepted Jesus and you ain't very good. You know what you do, don't glorify God very much. You been there? Yes, some of us have been there more than others. But I was one of those that did lots of things wrong. So if there was anybody that should have been killed in the car wreck, it was me if it had been according to works. Because I was the rotten kid that wouldn't do what I was told to do. My little sister was a great girl. But she's the one that got killed. Well, after a few months, Mother was in agony all the time, worrying over Gail. And she said, "I just don't understand why she had to die so young. She's worried about it." And I said, "Mother, if there was ever anybody that's going to be in heaven because of their works, it's Gail." Now, how many people are going to be in heaven because of their works? None. Not any. No. We're justified by faith, not by works. So anyway, we looked at this and Mother looked at it, and finally one morning I got up and come in for breakfast, and Mother said, "Well, I won't ever worry about Gail again." I said, "Why is that, Mother?" She said, "Last night, Gail, which had been dead now for 8 or 10 months, Gail walked into my bedroom, walked up beside my bed and woke me up and said, 'Mother, will you please stop worrying about me? Jesus is taking such good care of me.'" And so she said, "Son, I will never worry about Gail again." And she never did. And Mother lived to be 83 years old before she went home to be with Jesus. But she went home to be with Jesus. When she got there, Gail was already there waiting on her. 22 years old, she went home, just like she asked for. We buried her in her wedding dress with her rings on. How did she know that? I have no idea. But how did she get there? She got there by faith in Jesus Christ. Although she was such a good little girl and lived such a pure, clean, holy life, she still knew she couldn't get there without the blood of Jesus. None of us can. So she was justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, we should have no complications, no issues, no problems of living our life on this earth. You shouldn't even be concerned about dying. Because how many of us are going to die? Every one of us. That's just like, you know, I think about different people that I've dealt with and talked to, and I think about several different men in my life that I've dealt with, and one of these, in fact, just a family member, not just a few months ago. Cheryl and I went to a funeral, a family member, her family. And there was a man there about 50 years old. And a family member. And we talked to him. I talked to him. He sounded just as healthy as I do. Only 50-something years old. And about 3 months later, Cheryl got a phone call, and he found out her cousin had a heart attack and died. Now, if you'd asked me that day which one of us is going to die before the other one, I'd have said, well, you know, he's 50 years old. I'm 77. You know, I'll go before him. That makes sense, right? But you don't never know, do you? Just because you're 50 years old don't mean nothing. Like I say, my sister was only 22. My daughter was only 24. So the thing about it is, you got to make sure that you believe this book. Don't wait till you're 70 or 80 years old to start trying to believe this book. Because there's no guarantee you'll make it 70 or 80 years, right? No guarantees. But one thing for sure, if you have, just like Cheryl's mother, I mean, not her mother, her daddy. Cheryl's daddy did not serve God. Cheryl knew he didn't serve God. She knew he took the Lord's name in vain a lot. That was just a standard practice for him talking. In fact, when he died, we were there in the hospital, and she said, Lord, I've got to have some kind of a knowledge somehow today to find out my daddy went to heaven. Lord, I have prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him, but I got to know whether my daddy made it or not. Let me tell you, don't come to that part of your life right there like that and don't know what the answer is to that. If you don't know that you've been justified by faith, learn it today. I am a son or a daughter of God. I am justified by faith. It doesn't make any difference what I do or what I have done or what I'm going to do in the future. The mistakes I make in the future, the mistakes I'll make today, the mistakes I've made in the past, I'm still covered by the blood of the Lamb. Is that right? Amen. Jesus died for how many of your sins?
All
of them. And when it says he covers them all, don't let the devil cheat you out of that. Well, the devil is real good. He'll perch up on your shoulder and say, oh, you old wicked girl, you, or you old wicked boy, you. You know, God could never, he would never let somebody as mean as you into heaven. And that ain't true, because sin is sin. And if you've been the best person they ever have been, you know, if y'all remember when we had Howard Pittman here, he had been a preacher, a Baptist preacher, right, Ms. Billy? I mean, he had been a Baptist preacher. And when he went to heaven, I mean, he's a preacher. When he got to heaven, the Lord told him, he said, Howard, because of the blood of my son, you're going to get to come in. But he said, you're not going to get a single reward. Now, wait a minute. I mean, you know, if I've been a Baptist preacher for 30 or 40 years on earth, I'm expecting to get some kind of reward when I get there, wouldn't you? But see, we see that we don't judge the same way God does. He told him because of the blood of his son, he could come in. He's going to get to come to heaven, but because of the works he did on earth, he's going to get no rewards. Anybody remember Howard Pittman telling us that?
Yeah,
he did tell us that, didn't he? I'll tell you what. I don't want to be a street sweeper in heaven, but I'd much rather be a street sweeper in heaven than a general in hell. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to put God first. I'm going to believe this book. And I ain't going to let the devil cheat me out of nothing. So if Jesus Christ, when we think about the thief on the cross with him, that guy was a murderer, a crook, everything. And whenever he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, the Lord told him, today you will be with me in paradise. All because he believed in Jesus. Now, ain't that something?
Yeah.
I mean, that's something. He died on that cross that day and let that man come into heaven. And that man, he wasn't even baptized. The scripture clearly says to be baptized. But obviously God can make exceptions because he didn't get to baptize that guy. We're justified by faith. And by being justified by faith, we have made peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we do go to heaven, I'm believing with all my heart, let me ask you a question. I want you to be sincere. How many of you in this room know that you have made peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ? If you know you're a Christian, I want you to hold up your hand. You know that you believe in Jesus. Okay. All of you that held up your hand when you die, where are you going?
Heaven.
Going to heaven. I don't care how good I've been or how bad, but the thing about it is, I want to make it a point to be as good, as holy, and as free from sin as I possibly can be every day, right?
Amen.
If God says, be ye holy because I am holy, what did he want us to do?
Be holy.
Be holy. If he said, if all of us that have this hope in us, the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us that have this hope to purify yourselves from all evil, then what does he want you and me to do every day? Purify ourselves. Is that right?
Yes.
He don't want us to be as close to the... In other words, if here's the pit, we don't want to walk as close to that pit as we can get and sin and see how close we can get to it and yet not fall into it and get burned. I want to be as far away from that thing as I can, don't you?
Absolutely.
I don't want nothing to do with sin. I want to walk holy in his presence because after what the Lord did for you and me, by giving his own life and justifying us by faith, after what he done and the price he paid for you and me, I want to do at least the best I can do in the flesh and in the spirit to please the master. Don't you?
Amen.
Yeah, I don't want him to be unhappy with me. I mean, I think about whenever you have your own children. When your children obey you and do what's right, you're proud of your children, right? You know, I can remember used to when Tim, when he loved to play football, we went to Liberty, went to a Christian school, and I can remember how many times that whenever he would break loose and start to run or make several yards or every once in a while he'd make a touchdown or something, but every time he'd break loose and start to run somewhere, I can always remember, I wasn't quite as wild as Betty was about Tim, but she would jump up when he would break loose, she'd jump up and hold her hand up and she'd go, son, go, that's my boy. I thought, wow. Is that the way you want Jesus to do when you come in? When you come home, you want him to say, come on, son, atta boy, atta girl. Come on. I don't want him to do what he did to Howard Pittman. And Howard told us clearly, the Lord said he was not happy with him because of the things he had not done according to the word. But he forgave him. And he gave him another chance. And he's still a-going today. And I guess Howard must be 80-something years old.
87.
But you know, at like 50 something or what it was, he died. And the Lord brought him back. Give him another chance. Wow. Let's go to the next verse, verse 2. Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell that story. I started to tell that and then I didn't. But to show you the mercy of God, as Cheryl had prayed that prayer for her daddy, not knowing whether he'd be a Christian or not. And for goodness sakes, don't live like that. You know, I mean, you know what I want my kids and my wife and everybody else? If something were to happen to me and I were to die, and that's going to happen someday. I don't know when, but I know it's going to. I want when they people hear, well, Thurman Scrivener passed away. I want them to, the people that know me say, well, I'll say one thing about that guy. He walked with God. Is that what you want to hear?
Yes.
That man, that woman walked with God. So I know for sure where they're at. They're with the Lord. Is that the way we want to be known?
Yes.
Absolutely, that's the way we want to be known. Well, that's not the kind of life that Howard Butler lived. And so Cheryl didn't know if her daddy was lost or saved. She didn't know if he's going to make it or not. So she's asking God to show her if her daddy's going to make it. When I walked into the room, she said, honey, I don't know if my daddy's really saved or not. Can we pray for him? I said, okay. So I knelt my knees over, leaned over on the side of the bed. And as soon as my knees touched that bed, I saw her daddy in the spirit falling backwards just like this into the black abyss of hell. I mean, I had never seen that before in my life. That's the only time I've ever seen that. But I saw her daddy falling into hell. I immediately started screaming and crying. I'm not one to cry for nobody, especially for a man that I don't even know. I'd only seen him twice in my life. But I'm seeing him fall into hell. I started screaming, Howard, just call on the name of Jesus. Have we seen the scripture that says anyone that calls on the name of Jesus will be saved? Is that what it says? Anybody that calls on the name of Jesus. So if there's any doubt in your mind right now that you're going to make it or not make it, what do you need to do? Call on the name of Jesus. Jesus, yes. That's all it takes is Jesus. So anyway, when I saw him falling into that abyss and I'm starting to scream, Howard, just call on the name of Jesus. Cheryl, she started doing the same thing. Yes, Daddy, Daddy, call on the name of Jesus. She don't have a clue what's going on. She don't know what I'm seeing or nothing else. All she knows is what she asked the Lord for. And all of a sudden, as I'm screaming, Howard, just call on the name of Jesus. He's falling backwards into the abyss. What a scene. I'll never forget that. That man was on his way to hell. That's a scary thing. You know that? He's falling into the lake of fire, a black hell. He's falling into it. And I'm screaming, Howard, call on the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, I just barely heard him say, Jesus. Just barely. Just barely heard him say that. And the minute he said that, a bright light from somewhere up there illuminated his body and stopped him from falling into the abyss and pulled him just like Superman into the light, and whoosh, he was gone into the kingdom. What did he do to have to, what did he have to do to get there? One word, Jesus. Well, see, right now every one of you are still in good health. You're here today. How difficult is it for you to call on the name of Jesus? Not hard at all. Just say, Jesus, I love you. I want to serve you. I'm going to be your son or daughter forever. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Now, if you were lost before, you've just been saved. Now, the devil will try to cheat you out of it, but don't let him. Believe the word. You can't miss. You cannot miss. I mean, you cannot miss. All you got to do, her daddy, all he had to do was call on the name of Jesus. That's all it took. And he went to heaven. In fact, if you don't think he went to heaven, only a year or so later, when Cheryl's mother passed away, her brother had told her that he was over at the mother's house and said, the mother has been seeing daddy in the house and he's sleeping with her at night in the bed. And she said, Cheryl said, oh, Ronnie, daddy's coming after mom. She's getting ready to die to go to heaven. He said, no, Cheryl, she ain't going to die. Cheryl said, I tell you, I guarantee she's getting ready to go because daddy's coming after her. And that night, the next morning, that he came, and sure enough, Cheryl's mother died in the house that next morning. And so she got to go to heaven too. If it hadn't been for this woman sitting on the front row, her prayers for her mom and dad, neither one of them would have made it to heaven. Don't live like that. Don't live like that. You know, I mean, know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you know that you know that you know that you have called on the name of Jesus. And if you called on the name of Jesus, somebody said, but you know, you sure made lots of mistakes. That's okay. I got Jesus. I'm peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I may have made some mistakes. I don't know anybody that hasn't. Do you? I don't know a single human being that hadn't made numerous mistakes. But how much the blood of Jesus covers all of them. And if we didn't have Jesus, there ain't none of us could make it. None of us. We have access by faith into this grace. Wherefore we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, in whom we have access by faith. In other words, into the kingdom of God, into Jesus Christ. Just like Paul, when Paul got to go to the third heaven and saw it, and then he come back and told us, he said, man, guys, this place is great. I mean, this is an awesome place. In fact, he said, it's so awesome, I know that I'd much rather leave here and go to be with the Lord. But he says, for your benefit, I have got to stay and do some more teaching because I need to hang around for a little while for you. But it'd be much better to leave here and go to heaven to be with the Lord. But I'll stay. I'll hang around for a little while. They said, well, you can't go back to Jerusalem. If you do, they're going to kill you. He said, praise God. Is that what he said?
Yes.
Yeah, praise God. You know, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know what? When that becomes a reality to you, you won't worry about nothing no more. Just like I've told Cheryl, I said, if something were to happen to me and I get to go home before you do, I don't know. Who knows that? Nobody knows that. I said, if I happen to be preaching the gospel and I drop dead and y'all come over, if y'all pray over me and I don't come back to life, just don't call 911. I said, if you call 911, I'm going to get up off that floor and get you. If it's my time, I don't want nobody messing with me. Do y'all understand where I'm coming from? I'm not afraid to die. I mean, not at all. Praise God, you know. I'm going to live and hang around here as long as he wants me to be around here. But when it does come my time, I don't want nobody putting a bunch of paddles on me and shock treating me and trying to do all kinds of stuff. Hey, when it's time to go to the house, it's time to go to the house. And, you know, y'all remember what Don Piper said? Whenever he said, when the Lord told him, I got to send you back. Lord, I don't want to go back to that old place down there. I don't want to go back to earth. Lord, Lord. He said, well, I'm not through with you yet. You got to go back. But how many people have we heard give testimonies that got to go to heaven and then had to come back? How many of them wanted to come back? None of them. No, none of them. If you ever see that, you won't never. You'll be just like Paul. Man, guys, I'm here to help y'all, but to live is Christ and die is gain. So there's no big deal. So the thing about it is what it should do for every one of us, every one of us that are still able to walk and talk. If we're able to walk, we're able to stand up, we're able to move around, we ought to be doing something for Jesus and we ought to be walking in love. I told Cheryl, I guess it was yesterday or day before yesterday, she asked me about something, wanted to go do something or whatever, and I told her, yeah, sure, honey, if that's what you want to do, we'll go do it. What I want to eat, what do you feel like eating? I said, anything you want to eat. Well, so we just go up here, this be okay? I said, sure, no problem. She said, gee, you really are easy to get along with today. I said, I'm trying to learn to walk in love. I really am trying to totally walk in love. Now, is that got to be a better life if I walk in love? If I can walk in total love to my wife and to you, each one of you, if I can walk in love, you're not going to mind being around me, I don't think. You know, but if I'm hard to get along with in everything I do, some people say, well, I'd rather not be around him. You know, sometimes you have to, I think about back when I run my own shop, I think about Mike and how he's getting busier and busier and getting more hard and more people, all that stuff. There's always a time in your life, especially in the world when you're working, when you tell somebody to do something a certain way and they don't do it that way. And you got all this experience and they don't have very much, but all of a sudden they seem to think they have more than you. So you have to be careful after a few times you get to where you raise your voice to those people. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, you tell them several times to do something, and if they don't do it, you have to speak a little louder and say, look, this is the way I want that done. Do you understand? Now, you don't have to do it like that, I guess, you know, that. But I've not mastered that, but I'm trying to learn how to walk in love. And I'm practicing up on my wife. And you like it, don't you, honey? How many of you need to practice learning how to walk in love with your wife? Let's see your hand, you know. I guarantee every one of you. Maybe I should have asked the women. Women, how many of y'all want your husband to learn to walk in love? Well, I mean, both of you. It works both ways. Do we need to learn to walk in love with each other? Why do we need to learn to walk in love with each other? Because God commanded us to love each other, right? He told us what to do. Let's go to verse 3. This verse, I'm not really sure I like it. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. You know, sometimes it's hard to glory in problems, isn't it? Sometimes it's just difficult. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. The day I learned this scripture, years ago, right there, I said, I will never pray for patience again. Up until that time, I had prayed, Lord, give me patience. And all the tribulations always come upon me. And I didn't ever put it together for years. One day I'm reading that, and we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I thought, all those times I have prayed for peace, patience, and everything, it opens the door for God to put me to the test through trials and tests. And I said, okay, Lord, I've got all of the peace that I need. I got all the patience I need. I don't want any more. So I'm going to be happy with what I got. And he doesn't give you near as many tests. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 4. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. Isn't it amazing what we have to go through to learn how to do things? Verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God. Just think what you could do after God sheds the love of God into your heart. So you can really walk there. Would it be wonderful? I want to walk in love. That means I got to go through all these trials and tests. But it'll be worth it. I still want to walk in love. Don't you? I'm going to work on it. Just like last night or night before last, whenever it was, when Cheryl asked me something about, I think she said, what do you want to eat? I think that's what she said. I said, honey, it makes no difference. Anything. She said, well, you want to go out or you want to just eat in the kitchen? I said, no, it makes no difference. Whatever you want, whatever pleases you. If you want to eat in the kitchen, we'll eat in the kitchen. If you want to go out for dinner, I'll take you. Boy, that's what you call being easy to get along with, right? We need to learn to love each other. Next verse. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's a mouthful, isn't it? As wicked as we are, as wicked as we were, wow, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, or for you and me. So we don't have to go to hell, so we can go to heaven. And we read this scripture so clear. And still, if you're not careful, the enemy will deceive you. You have no idea how many men, especially men, that I've dealt with in my life, when I ask them, do you believe you're going to heaven? And they're Christian men. They're men that go to church. Sometimes they say, I hope so. I'm not sure. I said, well, are you a believer in Jesus? Oh, yeah, I'm a believer in Jesus. I said, well, then that's all it takes. All it takes is for you to believe in Jesus and then confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And it's a done deal. Is that right?
Yeah.
And how many ways are there to heaven?
Yeah.
Only one. If it's faith in Christ and you believe in Jesus, are you going to heaven when you die?
Amen.
Absolutely. You know, by the grace of God. I mean, somebody said, wow, but I haven't done very much for the Lord. That's not what's going to determine whether you go to heaven or not. What you've done for Jesus is not what's going to determine. It's what he done for you that's going to get you in heaven. Now, the rewards and the house that you're going to live in up there is going to be determined. Some of y'all have heard me tell the story about the pastor. And you know, this is terrible, but this could be the way it is. He died and he got to heaven, and St. Peter was taking him on a little tour, and he comes down the Hallelujah Boulevard there, and he looks up, and here is this mansion. I mean, it's magnificent. Wow. He said, boy, who owns that house? He said, well, Sister Mary. Mary who? He said, you don't know her? She's from your church. What? A woman in my church has got a house like that? And I don't even know her? Wow. And so they walk down the road, turn a corner, and go to the next street and the Glory Boulevard. And he looks up, and there's another mansion out of this world. He said, whose is that? He said, that's Brother Bob Doe. He said, who in the world is Bob Doe? He said, you don't know him either? He was a man in your church also. He said, my land, it's these two people in my church, and I don't even know them, and they get a house like this. I can only imagine what I'm going to get. Is that kind of the way sometimes the way we do things? I can only imagine what I'm going to get. If I don't even know them and they got one like that, woo, I'm the pastor. I'm really going to get a big house. When they go way down out to the back 40, and there's a little bitty tiny two-room shack back there, he said, whose is this? And he said, this is yours. There may be a whole lot more to that than you really understand. So what... The moral of this story is to do something good for Jesus every day. Because one day you're going to come to that day, right? One day you're going to die. You're going to stand before the King one day. So make sure that you have lived. And just remember that story that's so amazing that most of us never read in the Bible, that it talks about, I went out and I seen people, and it was 8 o'clock in the morning, and I hired these guys to work in the field. And then at noon, I found some more, and I hired them, put them in the field. Then I hired the last hour, 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I hired the last bunch, and they worked an hour, and then the day was over. And I said, bring the last ones that came in first. And he paid them, and he paid them the same thing that he paid the others, a day's wages. So what does that mean? In your last days, make it count. In other words, the man, if you work hard for Jesus that last hour, according to the scripture, he's going to give you the same reward. If you work diligently and hard and done a good job for the last hour, he's going to give you the same thing. He was some of those that have worked the whole length of time they were there. Somebody says, that's not fair. It is. He's the one who owns everything, right? Can he do what he wants to with his own money? He can. So whatever you do, do something to glorify God. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That was for you and me. Next verse. For scarcely is a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, one would even dare to die. Just think. You really have to think about that. If I were to die for you, that means my life on this earth is over. You got to really love somebody to be willing to give your life for them. But just think of the men that went to war and that died so you and me can be sitting here in this room today. You know that? There's a lot of men. I knew several of those men. I was with some of those men when we went to war, and some of those men did not come back. I'm so grateful that I came back, but still, I'm only going to be here a little while, and then it's going to be over. But that's the same way it's going to be with you. Next verse. But God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If Jesus Christ died for you while you were a sinner, you didn't have nothing to do with your salvation except believe. That's all you had to do is believe in the name of Jesus. And he paid the price. Because he knew you couldn't do it. There ain't no way you could do it. You can't be good enough. You can't do nothing good enough. Verse 9, let's go on. He said, much more. Now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Is that good news? Do you know there are scriptures in the Bible? In fact, Scott and me and Kim were talking about these last night. In fact, how that if we don't want to serve God, there's scriptures in the Bible confirmed what I'm fixing to tell you. I don't want to serve God. I don't want to put him first. I'm going to do my own thing. So he says, okay, you can go out and do your own thing, but I'm going to give each one of you a little bit of money and some talents to use anyway. And so he does. And they go out, and some of them make good money. Some of them don't make much money. Some of them make a little bit of money. But they come up, and he says, now then, all of you that did not want me to be your king, bring them people to me and put them right there and kill them in my presence. That's scary, isn't it? Some people that don't want to serve God, they get killed in his presence. But they don't get any rewards. No rewards. But the man that comes to a point in his life when he says, Lord, I will put you first. I will serve you. I will love you. I will worship you. And I will learn how to walk in love with people. And I will be your son. And you will be my God. Does that please the Lord? And because you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you get to go to heaven. Next verse. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You notice that he's the one that done everything? All we got to do is believe. That's the only thing we got to do is believe. Next verse. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. He paid the price. Next verse. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death... passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So how many of us have fell short?
All.
Boy, you can do that any way you want it, can't you? Whether you straighten them all out or put one back here or whatever, but you're guilty. All have sinned. All have sinned. I mean, there's no doubt he's clear. We needed a Savior. Next verse. For until the law, he was in the world, but sin is now was not imputed, for there is no law. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. But now there is a law. Next verse. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgressions. Next verse. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. So everybody, in verse 15 there, everybody that accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we should reign and rule with Christ on the earth because he paid the price for everything. Jesus Christ has abounded over many. Next verse. Yeah, but the free gift is of many offenses under justification. Next verse. For if by one man's sin of death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. If you get a hold of what this is really saying, you're supposed to reign in life. We fail to realize that we're sons and daughters of God and that all the promises of God belongs to you and me through Jesus. Not only are we going to get to go to heaven when we die, but here on earth we have authority and power over sin and sickness. But most people have problems believing the word. It's just like that man that was here the other day that Dave was dealing with that was spitting up the blood. That man was coughing up blood. He had blood all over the floor in the bathroom, in the sink, in the stool, everywhere else. I went in there and he had blood all over everything. I said, "What's wrong with him, Dave?" He said, "Pastor, he can't figure out who he is." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "He has no knowledge." He said, "What you preach all the time. They don't know who they are in Christ. I'm trying my best to convince this man that he's a son of God and that the promises of God all are yes and amen for him." Jesus bore his sickness and removed his disease on the cross 2,000 years ago, but he said, "This man don't know that. I'm having a terrible time convincing him that this belongs to him." Did Jesus pay the price for your sickness on the cross? Then why are we sick? We don't believe. Do we believe that he forgave me of all my sins? Do we not believe that scripture that says in Psalm 103, he's the God that forgives how many?
All
my sins. Then I've confessed all my sins. Now he's the God that he heals all my diseases. I don't believe that. If we don't believe that, then you will not get well. You have to believe that with no doubt in your heart. I am forgiven. Jesus, I'm going to reign and rule with Jesus because of what he done on that cross. I'm going to reign in life. What does reigning in life mean? It means having fun, being in charge. I'm going to reign and rule. That's just like the other day when that guy picked up that Spanish guy down close to Houston. He told this story. He said, he's a missionary, and he picked up a Mexican guy that was walking, and he's just trying to be a good neighbor. And when he picked him up, he didn't realize the guy had escaped from prison and he had a gun on him. So he said, the guy got in the car and told him, he said, "Get over, get out, I'm taking your car." And the guy said, "No." He said, "No, I'm a Christian. You can't take my car away from me. I'm in charge here, not you." Now, this is a true story. So this guy told him, he said, "Either you get out or I'm going to kill you." So the guy's standing there with a gun right in his stomach, and he pulls the trigger 3 or 4 times and shoots, and with the gun against him, and can't hit him. Is that pretty wild? So he says, then by this time I decided, okay, I'll get out. So he said, I get out of the car. And the guy said, I can't believe I didn't hit you and I shot at you. He said, I'm telling you, I'm a Christian. You can't touch me in Jesus' name. I'm in charge here, not you. So the guy said, I've never seen nobody like you. He takes him out in the field. He said, now take off your clothes. So he said, in a weakness of a moment, I took my clothes off and handed them to him. He stripped off naked out there, everything, about 100 yards off the road. He said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to take your car, and I can't kill you, so I'm going to take your car and go away and leave you out here in the field naked. So he said, the guy gets about halfway back to the car, and I thought, the Holy Spirit must have got a hold of him. He says, what are you doing standing here naked? You're in a charge here. So he hollered at the guy and said, hey, come back here. Come back and bring my clothes back. So the guy came back out there and he said, what do you want? He said, I'm in charge here, not you. I'm putting my clothes back on. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a true story. This really happened. Yeah, this guy was down at Daystar the other day. It's amazing. This story is an awesome story. And so he said, the guy don't understand him. He gives him back his clothes. He puts his clothes back on. He goes over and gets in the car and he said, okay, I'm going on home to have dinner with my wife and kids tonight. If you want to ride with me, you can ride. If you don't, just take you and your gun and get out and walk. So he said, I'm going to ride with you for a ways. So he rides down the road. Finally gets down there a little while and he says, I never seen anybody like you. And that's pretty obvious. You don't run into many men like that, do you? Many Christian men that really know who they are. So he said that the guy said, pull over right there and I'm going to get out right there. So he just pulled over and the guy got out of the car and he said, okay, he said, I'll see you later. I'm going home to have dinner with my wife and my children. And the guy said, I have never seen nobody like you. He couldn't kill him, put a gun in his stomach and couldn't kill him. Is that crazy? But what does that say? If the men that live under this grudge, this grace and of the gift of righteousness, we shall reign in life by Jesus. Does that mean you can reign in life if you really know Jesus? Yes, it does. So anyway, that guy that Dave was having all the trouble with, I told him, I said, Dave, we're fixing to go eat lunch, go eat dinner. I said, I'm going to leave you and this guy together. He's in good hands. I know if anybody can get through to him, you'll get through to him. So we got back that night and I said, well, what happened? He said, about 30 minutes after y'all left, he got it. When he finally got it, said the blood stopped and everything, and he got healed. The next Sunday afternoon at church, he was here running around here looking like a brand new man. You see that guy, Mike? The guy learned who he was. I am a son of God. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus did for me on the cross, he bore my sickness, he removed my disease, and he gave me power and authority to reign and rule on this earth. And when you learn that, I'm a son of God. This belongs to me. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you, Lord, I'm well. I ain't going to be sick. I'm going to walk in love with everybody. I've confessed all my sins, so I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's a done deal. I am not going to get well. I am well because it's written in the book. Jesus bore my sickness and removed my disease. I am made whole. Now I'm going to reign with him forever in Jesus' name. Can we do that? You can if you have faith, if you believe. How does that kind of faith come? From being in the Word, reading the Word, over and over and over and over and over. You finally will get it if you believe it, but you got to believe it. If you believe it, it will work. If you don't believe it, it won't work. How many of you in this room have been healed at one time or another through this ministry by faith in God's Word? How many of you? Wow, look at that. Isn't that something? God's word really does work, doesn't it, Mike? Yes, sir. I mean, it works and it works and it works. But it was available to you before you knew it.
Yes, it was.
And it didn't work, did it? until you learn really how to walk in faith. Then you started claiming the promises by faith, and it started working for you, didn't it? Isn't that amazing?